The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi there, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Today, we will be reading books about Thanksgiving. Our first book is called A Turkey for Thanksgiving by Eve Bunting. It was Thanksgiving morning. Mr. Moose helped Mrs. Moose set the Thanksgiving table. "Now Sheep will sit here. He likes a chair that's straight up and down," Mr. Moose said. "Rabbit here, and Porcupine here. Mr. and Mrs. Goat over here." He smiled at his wife. "Isn't it nice to have friends to share Thanksgiving?" Mrs. Moose set two paper pilgrims, one at each end of the table. She placed the paper turkey with its great fan of a tail between the candles and stood back. "They look good, my dear," Mr. Moose said. Mrs. Moose sighed. "Yes, but I wish we had a real turkey. Everyone always has a turkey for Thanksgiving. Everyone but us." Mr. Moose nuzzled Mrs. Moose's head. "Well, that won't do. I will go this minute and find you a turkey for Thanksgiving." Mr. Moose put on his cap and went out. Mist wandered through the bare trees. The cold made his nose water. Rabbit poked his head from his rabbit hole. "Mr. Moose, is it dinner time yet?" "Not quite. Mrs. Moose wants a turkey. I'm off to find one." Rabbit joined him in three quick hops through the frosty ground. "I'll come too." Moose's warm breath hung white in front of him. Snow crunched under his hooves and made little holes that Rabbit jumped over. "I see the goats," Rabbit said. Mr. Goat raised his head and spat out the tin can he was chewing. "Is it dinner time?" he called. "Not until I find a turkey," Mr. Moose said. "Well, we saw one down by the river," Mrs. Goat told him. And Mr. Goat added, "A fat one." The goats leaped down from their perch. "We'll show you." Sheep was farther up the hillside looking round as a fur ball in his winter coat. "Is it dinner time?" he bellowed. "First, I have to find a turkey," Mr. Moose bellowed back. "There's a turkey nest on the river bank," Sheep called. "Wait for me." The earth smelled of ice and moss as they crunched along through the snow. Above them, a crow hung, black as a puff of wood smoke. Porcupine was hiding in the underbrush. "It's you," he said, and he put his quills down. "We're off to get a turkey for Mrs. Moose," Mr. Moose exclaimed. "Do you want to come?" "I'm slow," Porcupine said. "Pick me up on your way back." "Who'd want to pick you up?" Sheep asked, and laughed his bleat of a laugh. "I'll wait," Porcupine told Mr. Moose. They saw Turkey's nest right away, and Turkey himself peering over the top of it. "Turkey! Turkey!" Mr. Moose called in his sweetest voice. "Ah!" Turkey blundered from his nest and ran as fast as he could. Mr. Moose lumbered after him. "Turkey, don't run. We just want you for Thanksgiving dinner." Turkey ran faster. Mr. Moose saw the red and blue sheen of Turkey's neck. Turkey's tail brushed crumbs of snow behind him as he tried to fly. "Too fat," said Mr. Goat. Turkey's legs bent in the middle as he fell. Mr. Moose put a booted hoof on his head and smiled his great toothy smile. "I hope you don't have any other plans for Thanksgiving, Turkey." He helped Turkey up. "My wife won't mind that you're too fat," he said. "Let's go. It's getting close to dinner time." They marched Turkey in front. "I'm sorry about this, for I can see you don't want to come," Mr. Moose said. "But I must insist. A promise is a promise. There was a wreath of dried fruit on the moose's door. Inside, the house was filled with Thanksgiving smells. Mr. Moose hid Turkey behind him. "Look who I brought, Mrs. Moose," he said. "Sheep, the goats, rabbit, and porcupine." And ta-da! He pushed Turkey around in front of him. "For you, a turkey for Thanksgiving." Mrs. Moose clapped her hooves. "I'm so happy to have you, Turkey. Thank you, Mr. Moose. Now everything is perfect." "Shall we sit?" Sheep asked, heading for the straight up-and-down chair. "Let's," Mrs. Moose pointed. "Rabbit here, Porcupine here, Mr. and Mrs. Goat here, and look, I brought a chair from the other room in hopes that a turkey would come to our dinner." A chair?" Turkey stammered. "Right next to me," Mrs. Moose said. "Light the candles, Mr. Moose." There were bowls of acorns and alfalfa sprouts dried since summer. There was willow bark and cured grasses and wild parsley. There were pressed leaves, thin and pale, as new ice on a pond. "I hope you'll find something here to your liking, Mr. Turkey," Mrs. Moose said. "I wasn't sure of your taste." "You are so kind to worry about my taste," Turkey said. "I thought you'd be worrying about how I taste." "Heavens no," Mr. Moose smiled his big tooth smile and filled everyone's cup with cold spring water. "It's so nice to have friends around the table at Thanksgiving." Turkey's wattles wobbled. "It's even nicer to be at your table and not on it," he said. "Happy Thanksgiving, everybody." "Happy Thanksgiving, Turkey." This story is Sharing the Bread, an old-fashioned Thanksgiving story by Pat Zeitlow Miller and Jill McElmurray. This is a story about a family working together to make the Thanksgiving feast. And it takes place probably about 100 years ago. Back in those days, they didn't have stoves like we have today that cook with gas or electricity. They had a big black iron cook stove, which had to be where you cooked with fire and logs, and you had to keep the fire burning in one side of the stove so that the oven and the top pots would cook well. So here we go. "Mama, fetch the cooking pot. Fetch our turkey cooking pot, big and old and black and squat. Mama, fetch the turkey pot. Daddy, make the fire hot. Tend it so it's blazing hot. Ready for the cooking pot. Daddy, make it hot. Sister, knead the rising dough. Punch it down and watch it grow. Line your loaves up in a row. Sister, knead the dough." And here's the sister making bread. "Fetch and heat and knead the bread. Work together till we're fed." And here's the whole family working together in the kitchen. The little boy is washing dishes. His father is drying the dishes. The mother is putting the turkey in the oven. And the sister is making bread. The big brother now comes into the kitchen. "Brother, baste that turkey well. Baste that turkey, tasty turkey, well. Such a good Thanksgiving smell. Brother, baste it well." "Grandpa, cook the berries, please. Boil those bright red berries, please. Add some lemon, just a squeeze. Grandpa, cook them, please." And there's Grandpa making the cranberry sauce. "Grandma, bake your pumpkin pie. Whip the topping light and high, high enough to reach the sky. Grandma, bake the pie. Baste and boil. Bake a treat. When can we sit down to eat?" Auntie, mash the potatoes now, just like Grandma taught you how. Top with butter from our cow. Auntie, mash them now. Uncle, swing that cider jug, swing that gallon cider jug, pour a drink in every mug. Uncle, swing the jug. Baby, be a sleeping mouse, such a peaceful sleeping mouse, snug and happy in our house. Baby, be a mouse. Mash and top and pour and rest. Food and loved ones, we are blessed. I will fold some pilgrim hats, proper paper pilgrim hats, perfect festive table mats. I will fold some hats. And here's the little brother and the sister and the big brother making pilgrim hats to use for placemats for the dinner. Now I'll raise a hearty shout. Happy, hungry, hearty shout. Come and get it. Dinner's out. I will raise a shout. And here's everyone coming in from the kitchen, bringing in the food. Yum, yum. Family, find your dining place. Choose a chair and fill your space. Bow your heads and ask for grace. Family, find your place. And there, they're all sitting down at the table with the food on the table, and everything looks so good. And then the family sits down and holds hands and bows their head. Fold and shout and sit and pray all together on this day. We will share the risen bread with made with love Thanksgiving spread. Grateful to be warm and fed, we will share the bread. And there they are eating their delicious Thanksgiving dinner all together. This next story is called Raking Leaves, and it comes from a book called Lionel in the Fall, about a boy named Lionel. And it has several stories in it about Lionel. And this book is by Stephen Krensky. This book, this story is, as I told you, called Raking Leaves, which happens around Thanksgiving time. All the leaves fall down from the trees, and we have to get out and clean up our yards with rakes. Lionel was raking leaves in his backyard. The leaves were red, yellow, and brown. The ground was covered with them. Lionel raked and raked and raked. His arms got sore. His legs got tired. Louise came outside wearing a dress. She was going to a birthday party. "Keep up the good work, Lionel," she said. "Maybe you'll be done by Thanksgiving." And she kicked some leaves and left. Lionel felt bad. Jeffrey passed her on the driveway. "Hi, Lionel," he said. Lionel was glad to see him. Jeffrey was tall. He was strong. Jeffrey could be a big help. "Nice day," said Lionel. Jeffrey looked at the yard. "Too bad you have so much to do," he said. "It's worth it," said Lionel. "I'm building the biggest pile of leaves in the world." And Jeffrey laughed. "Really," said Lionel. "It will be this big," he said. He opened his arms wide. "And it will be fun to jump in when I'm done." Jeffrey nodded. "Can I jump too?" "If you want," said Lionel. "Of course, I have to finish raking first." Jeffrey looked around. "There sure are a lot of leaves here," he said. "How long will it take you?" "A long time," said Lionel. "Maybe weeks." Jeffrey smiled. "I don't believe you," he said. Well, Lionel started raking again. "Well, it will take a while," he said, "and I'm working as hard as I can." Jeffrey wrinkled his nose. You would get it done faster if I helped, he said. That's true, said Lionel. Maybe even today, said Jeffrey. Maybe, said Lionel. Do you have another rake? In the garage, said Lionel. Lionel and Jeffrey worked hard for a long time. By late afternoon, all the leaves were in one huge pile. Lionel and Jeffrey jumped in it lots of time before dark. And that is the end of the story. Our next story is The Can-Do Thanksgiving by Marion Hess Pomerank. Dee searched Buster's Market for the just right can. Corn, suggested her mother. Little bitty white potatoes? No, said Dee, and she pushed her glasses higher on her nose. Peas, she finally announced. Peas? Dee proudly plunked her peas on the checkout counter. Therefore, my class's Thanksgiving can-do food drive, she told Priscilla, the cashier. We bring cans and stuff to school, and later they get delivered to people who need them somewhere. Then Dee gave Priscilla the 89 pennies which she'd saved by herself. Where will my peas go? Dee asked her mother as they crossed the street to school. To a hungry person for a nice meal, replied her mom. Where? Dee wanted to ask, but it was time to go inside. In her classroom, Dee placed her peas in a box at the front of the room. Hector plopped in a can of tuna. Keisha added fruit cocktail. Almost everyone, in fact, brought something. It's almost time for the pickup, said Mrs. Ortiz, Dee's teacher. Dee's can was about to disappear forever. She ran to her desk and grabbed a yellow sticker. Dee's Peas, Oak Street School, she wrote across it. Dee taped the note to the can and whispered a secret wish. I want to see where my peas go. Hector heard her. He yelled, No way, pea brain. That evening, Dee and her father made their famous veggie medley. But Dee still had peas on her mind. Where did my can go? She asked her father. Maybe to a food pantry or a soup kitchen, he said. It will be helpful somewhere. Hector was right. Dee would never know the fate of her can of peas. But a week later, Mrs. Ortiz had a surprise. A church downtown received our can-do cans, though it's a mystery how they knew where they came from. Dee looked at Hector and grinned. Mrs. Ortiz continued, Now they've invited us to help their volunteers serve and share a Thanksgiving meal at their soup kitchen on Thursday at noon. I'll take anyone who would like to go. Hector gasped. Maybe Dee wasn't a pea brain after all. That Thursday, a boy named Tyler walked into the soup kitchen behind his mother. He felt a little shy because he'd never been there before. But his mom wanted him to have a real Thanksgiving meal. Next year, we'll have Thanksgiving in a place of our own, she promised. So Tyler and his mom were homeless and probably living in a shelter somewhere, waiting until his mom could afford to rent them an apartment. I know, Tyler said, pushing his glasses higher up on his nose. Just then, a group of children rushed by. Tyler noticed a girl who wore glasses just like his. She might make a fun friend, he thought. Dee looked around. She saw tables being wiped, floors being swept, people rushing in from the cold. In the kitchen, Dee spotted crisp brown turkeys, a supersized kettle of soup, steaming stuffing, mashed potatoes, cranberry relish, and about a million green beans. There was someone stacking rolls, someone filling gravy boats, and someone cutting pies into slices. But Dee did not see a solitary pea. "Welcome. We're so glad you're here," said a lady with a tray. "I need helpers for serving." Keisha and Hector were her first volunteers. "I need table setters," called a man. Several children shot to his side. "And I need a napkin hander outer," came a familiar voice. It was Priscilla from Buster's Market. She was a volunteer, too. Dee walked through the dining room, giving out napkins. The tables were now crowded, and she saw a boy who wore glasses just like hers. The boy smiled at Dee. It made her think, he would be a fun friend, maybe. Emergency! The kitchen door blew open. Keisha ran out, waving her hands. Hector knocked over all the vegetables, she yelled. Kablooey! Dee raced back to help. The beans are history, cried Priscilla as she plucked some from Hector's ear. Dee, get me more vegetables, fast, and she pointed to the pantry. Dee grabbed cans of carrots, beans, and zucchini. She pushed an entire row of canned corn into a basket. Then, on the uppermost shelf, Dee saw a yellow sticker gleaming in the light. It was her peas, and there was the sticker she had written on, stuck to the can of peas. Dee stretched, hopped, and then jumped. The peas were just too high up on that shelf. She was about to give up when the boy with glasses offered Dee a chair. "Hi, I'm Tyler," he said. "Thanks, Tyler. I'm Dee." Dee climbed on and reached her peas. Tyler tossed cans of tomatoes into the basket. Dee flung in more cans of peas. "Dee, hurry, everyone's waiting," Priscilla called from the kitchen. "Tyler, where are you?" his mom called from the dining room. "Yikes, gotta go," exclaimed Dee and Tyler at the same time, and they ran off in opposite directions. Inside the kitchen, Priscilla looked worried. "What can we make with this mishmash of cans?" she asked. "A veggie medley," Dee explained. "My dad and I make it all the time." Priscilla reached for an enormous pot. Dee whispered something to Priscilla. It was one more secret wish. "Definitely," said Priscilla, darting out the door. When she returned, Tyler was at her side, rolling up his sleeves. "Ready, set, cook," he said. Dee and Tyler took turns opening cans and pouring vegetables into the pot. When things got steamy, they took turns wiping fog from their glasses. Soon, only one can remained. Can you guess what it was? Dee poured her peas into the pot. "Just right," she said. A few minutes later, Dee and Tyler emerged from the kitchen with a brimming platter of veggie medley piled high on that platter. Everyone burst into applause. "Hooray!" cheered Keisha. "Marvelous!" admired Mrs. Ortiz. "Chow time!" yelled Hector. "Dig in!" "Please wait, my friends." The room grew quiet and still. An elderly man arose. "First, let's give thanks for the blessings of this day," he said. Some people bowed their heads, some closed their eyes, and some took the hand of their neighbor. Dee smiled at Tyler. He gave her a big thumbs up. And then they both pushed their glasses higher up their noses. "Now can we dig in?" asked Hector. And everybody did. This book is The Ugly Pumpkin by Dave Horowitz. I am the ugly pumpkin, as you can plainly see. Of 100,000 pumpkins, none are quite like me. And there's a whole field full of jack-o'-lanterns, all looking like you would expect of Halloween jack-o'-lanterns, except for the ugly pumpkin, who looks very strange. Since early in October, I've been waiting to get picked. But each time things start looking up, I end up getting tricked. Nobody wants to pick the ugly pumpkin. A skeleton came for pumpkins one bright and crispy day. And there's the skeleton loading them into several pumpkins into his truck. I asked if I could get a ride. He laughed and said, "No way." And when I said, "It's getting late and I don't have a home," he rolled his eye and said, "Goodbye," and left me all alone. So I walked into November, where I happened on some trees. I asked if I could stay a while, and this time I said, "Please?" The trees all started smiling, and then one finally spoke. "Take off your boots and spread your roots." Another cruel joke, and there are the trees throwing apples at him as he runs away. "I am the ugly pumpkin," I shouted to the sky. And then it started raining, and so I began to cry. There's the poor ugly pumpkin crying with the rain pouring down on top of him. I took shelter in a garden that was overrun with squash. I noticed something very odd, and then I thought, "Oh my gosh! I am not a pumpkin. I am a squash." And that was true. He was a squash. And at last it was Thanksgiving, and I found where I fit in. And now you know my story. So let the feast begin. And there he's sitting down with all his other squashes that are his friends. And they're having a beautiful Thanksgiving feast all together. Happy Thanksgiving. And we don't have time for any more books, but we do have time for a couple poems. This one's called, "I Had a Little Puppy." I had a little puppy, and his name was Tiny Tim. I put him in the bathtub to see if he could swim. He drank up all the water. He ate a bar of soap. And the next thing you know, he had a bubble in his throat. In came the doctor, and in came the nurse, and in came the lady with the alligator purse. Out went the doctor, and out went the nurse, and out went the lady with the alligator purse. And this one is, "Now the day is over, night is drawing nigh, shadows of the evening steal across the sky. Now the darkness gathers and stars begin to peep. Birds and beasts and flowers soon will be asleep." Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.